The Reish Chai says it's good for a person to put his bed between north to south. Instead, you say in Brachos, that was the directions Adam Rishon was created, north to south. So, what is this north to south? Is the question for it. What does it mean, north to south? Some say it means the head should be east and the feet should be west. That's called between north and south, but it's facing east and west. That's what he seems to say here. That is not so simple if that's the meaning. If you say it's east to west, it's not clear. When to some do one way, some do the other way, each person's their own custom what to do. The Kabbalists, that's what he's saying, have one way of doing it, and there's a different way also. I'll bring the mission to work. Is the exact opposite. Right? What are the Beis Chai? Beis Chai says, what does it mean between north and south? It means the head of the bed to the east and the feet of the bed to the west. Which was the opposite. He says, the head of the bed to the north and the feet of the bed to the south. Can't be both. He says, Rav Nachman Azariah argues, he says, like the Zohar and the Midbar, Rami Pano, just like the Beis Chai says. Right? Okay, he says, also the opposite there too. The head should be maybe the west. Beis Chai says, the head. Even in the Zohar, it's not clear where or what. It's a whole discussion here. Where do you put the bed? Where is the best place for the bed? Let's see what the Maharal Tana says. Some say one way, some say the other way. He goes his particular derech. He explains that the point is the person has to be connected to the Shekhinah. He has to have the proper and do things in a way that's going to bring the Shekhinah to the world the most. And not going to be Chazam Shalom installing the Shekhinah and sending the Shekhinah away. We want to reveal Hashem in the world. So, like I said before, regarding this opinion, the highest thing a person can do in terms of mitzvahs, mitzvah of Ona, his wife, that's the highest thing to do, is fixing things that are the outer elements if he's over doing Mikdusha. It's a very, very high thing. So, whichever way he goes, with the Mishaburo, with the Mishai, whatever the custom is, the main thing is to remember, like the Mikor Chaim says, that a person has a mitzvah. The mitzvah of the owner being together with one's wife is like the mitzvah of tefillin. It's a mitzvah. Just has to do the mitzvah of the simcha, and that's where he can. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay. Now, in other words, we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful about Mishchas Zel Batala.
Which is?
Throwing out seed in a way that's not proper. The Arizal explains that Kain was born from this type of union. This is very interesting. He says that we find that Adam Rishon was with his wife on Erev Shabbos. Why? So it seems very strange. Why? So the Rish says, by eating the Eitz HaDaas, he right away had a problem. He had a mission. He started having a mission, and then he, therefore, he was with his wife. That first Zera that came out and went back in, that created Kain. So that's why he had a hard time. And then there was the other Zera that came out afterwards, in the middle, that created Hevel. That's what that Rish explains. So there's a Bechina, even one way or the other way, like you said before, earlier, when a person has relations based on Torah, he's making tikkunim. The holier his thoughts are, the purer he is, the greater rectifications. But he's making rectifications. He's doing, hopefully, he's doing what's a mitzvah. That's the idea. But the minute he's out of the realm of halacha, it's not so good. So even after relation, the person should be careful. He shouldn't should wait until everything is finished. So all the zera has to come out, all the seed has to come out, then he can withdraw. Even the there's parts which are the there's fluid which is not very thick, you can't impregnate. He said, nevertheless, you should be careful. Even though a person, he said, the reason he says to be careful, it's better to be careful. Not, it's not the same level at all. That's what he means. That's how the Reish Chayes explains. That's the first thing. Then we have Chavav. Yeah. Not allowed to be a light in the room. Shouldn't be a light in the room, especially not shining directly. A candle, certainly not. I said, what about a mother who's nursing and she needs to see in order to give her child food? What do I do with that? So what can one do in such a situation? So the Mishkaisis is very interesting. We have a nursing mother, so I told them, you have today, we have a Shabbos lamp. I don't know if you know, you have a lamp that's kind of about this size, this box. You have this fluorescent light inside, it plugs in. You turn it around, it stays dark. You turn it around, it opens. So the first person I know of to come up with this idea is the Benish Chai, the precious Bayero. He says, I told them to have a little ledge, make a little invitation in your wall, crevice, put a candle there, have a door. Close the door, make sure that there's air, enough air, the candle can continue. You open it, you close it, you have a little lamp, you open it, you close it when it's time to relations. That's what the Benish Chai says. So the Benish Chai says this is especially relevant when the woman can have a child. That's the most important thing. Possible for every child. He says that a candlelight is worse than moonlight or something else to that effect. That's the most abundant strength. He said a little bit, they shouldn't have light shining directly on them, but this little light is not in the world, but not candle. the person covers over with the blanket.
He has to. Can't wait for it to go away.
Yeah. It says, the time the night extends until the time when he puts on talisman tefillin, and when he's allowed to put on talisman tefillin in the morning. So until then, it's called nighttime in terms of this litra, which is supposed to be at night. Okay, it says the person should go to the mikvah. Should go to the mikvah after this, especially. Not going to the mikvah when a person is about to carry, when a person either has relations or a mission, lacks holiness, lacks kedusha. It's very, very hard to have kedusha. That's why the disciple would say, my svarim are very successful because I had a mikvah in my house, and every time I was about to write, I went to the mikvah. I certainly never was in a place of bakeri. The Arizal says, most hasaga, a person wants to have chulah hakodesh. If you want to have hasaga chulah hakodesh, you get it through tefillah in the mikvah, especially if a person needs it. The Chema Sayyam explains that on Shabbos Kodesh, anyone who wants can get a Bechina of Ruach HaKodesh, according to who he is. The person is supposed to be uplifted on Shabbos to such an extent that he's just in a totally different spiritual place. So it follows that you need to go to the mikvah, especially in such a situation, in order to get Ruach HaKodesh. Guess we'll continue with the next parasha, if that's okay. It's a short one. We might be able to finish it before, I don't know, in the end. By Wednesday, maybe, who knows? We'll try. So starting out Parshas Chayisara, Minchah of Shabbos and a third meal. The reason why a person says Manis Kudusilacha is Shotzo. I, Hashem, my prayer should be in a good time. It's a very interesting prayer. Minchah of Shabbos, what does it mean? He says, because during the week, Mincha time is a difficult time. There are very strong judgments then. But during Mincha on Shabbos, it was an aspect of Keser, very, very high place where it's only me and Hashem, it's nothing else. And it's very high light, it's called the Ratzon. That reveals the highest part of a person. When we get to Keser, we're able to even die for Hashem. It's a very, very high place. And that Ratzon, that Keser breaks all judgments, even at this time. And that's why it's called the Eighth Ratzon, a time of desire. There's another reason David HaMelech said to Hashem, Master of the world, this nation is not like other nations. Other nations, you know, they drink, they make parties, get wild, tape around, they make trouble. Said, not us. Even though we drank, you know, we had the Kiddush wine, maybe even a little more. Here I am. I'm ready to sing your praise in Mincha. I get up from Mincha. I daven Mincha. That's what that's how the Levush explains. It's a medrash. Later. Very nice. Fine. Ace Rotsi. What is this Ace Rotsi?
On Shabbos, we pray more so for the community versus an individual building.
You better believe it. But our Shabbos especially is the very important, if at all possible, to daven with humility. Very, very important. Usually we find that the person working on his prayer, if he doesn't daven with humility, it's going to end up being, he's going to lose his steam. And it won't have been worth it. It's better to pray with everybody else. When you daven with everyone else, one way or the other way, the prayer ascends. If you're just alone, it's much, much harder to get where you need to go. I'm sorry. Hello? Hi. Hi, Mom. Baruch Hashem, great. How are you? I'm teaching now. I'm teaching now. I'll talk to you later. I love you. Bye-bye. Malim in a bubble. If Nassim explains the Kutta Lafis, he says, what if this means? What is this Eish Rotsu? To want to connect to this place that's above place. A time above place, above time. Totally, totally, totally out of the realm of the material world. That's what we want to connect to now. A place which is the deepest tube or the highest. He's not here anymore. He's somewhere else. That's what we want to access in Mincha. That's what we can access in Mincha. So that's what we say. This is the prayer we say before the Torah reading. And Mincha. That's how the Nasa explains. He says, this pasuk we say after Votzio. If you put on a talis in Mincha, you say after you put on a talis. Rav Shmuel Vital says in the Siddur that you say this one time. And the Sef Tzibor, the leader of the prayer, says it one time. And everybody else says it again. Then the Sef Tzibor says it again. Everyone says it a second time. Shara Kavanah is, in period's time, don't bring this about two times. Maybe the Chemnitz Yisrael also doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. It's just that was the custom. So he brings the custom. He said, but since he brings it, we should at least do it twice. At least two times. So, and that's my custom. And one stands. We do not cover the forehead with the talis. So Nassim explains Eish Rotzon. This person gets rid of all judgments. Says judgments, these judgments get people in trouble because they drink. And once they start to drink, they drink more and they drink more until they do who knows what. Because a lot of judgments, a lot of fighting, a person brawling, he had his drink or whatever he did. He said, all of this is totally, totally strictly because this tremendous, tremendous kindness that shines down on Shabbos and Mincha. And we're uplifted to the highest possible position, a very, very, very high place. That's what Rashi explains this. I love that. So Beis Chai continues, he said, we take out Sefer Torah during Mincha. Three people go up to the Torah. So that is Chokma, Bina, and Das. Very high place of Chokma, Bina, and Das. Again, Chokma represents a very deep serenity with Hashem. Bina is a fire in the heart of Hashem, and Das is applying this to his actions. So the seven lower elements he spoke about already, or he has spoken, he will speak out later when he talks about it. Davening in the morning, we didn't get there yet. He said that was in the morning, as so explained. The Arizal says one should try to go up on the sixth Aliyah, because that's Yisod, and Yisod is foundation to Bris, a very high thing. It says similarly, one should try to go Shlishi Mincha because it's Das, if there's no Kohen, so if you can go Shlishi. Because this also helps in terms of the soul. Again, applying the higher levels into oneself. when you understand it, you understand it. Now, that's how he explains it. When I explain, if you know what das is, you know das. The more understanding one has, the more applied understanding, the more he's able to have tikkun habris. The more he's going to have purity. The less understanding, the less he's going to have purity. Now, first of all, the Mishnah Chassidim explains that shishi, that's only someone that's his aspect. We're not going to go up for a being, for netzah. We go up to the fourth one here, because that was his aspect. Find the right advice, how to overcome the Yitzhara. That was what he was dealing with. Like Moshe Rabbeinu.
Which
four is Moshe Rabbeinu? Which number? Rabbeinu, fourth aliyah. Netzach. And that's what we're not going to take. Specifically that one, not Shishi. So it's not, it depends on where, that's why Siddur Chassidim says, depends on where you are. Where are you? Where's your place in holiness? And if a person is struggling and needs to keep going, keep hanging on, and win through with the Yitzhar, Netzach is better for him. Or he's trying to access advice and how to win through that, Netzach is better than him. Or if a person is trying to praise Hashem, I want to praise Hashem, I want to admit my faults, I want to be better, and that way, so then it's Chamishi. And he takes the fifth aliyah. Each aliyah is different. If you're trying to access kindness or love for Hashem, so then it's Chesed, the first aliyah, that's a Kohen usually. The second one is Gvuras, limits, that's a Levi usually. Then we have Tiferes, it's Emes, or the Torah, that's Vikas, that's all Tiferes, that's the third aliyah. The fourth aliyah is Netzach, and Hod, your soul is foundation, also knowing that what I do counts and makes a difference. And Shvi is Malchus. Just when it's really hard, I just want to continue taking on the yoke of heaven with emunah and humility, that's shuvim. And maftis, only it's a new beginning. That's a maftis. Just need to start again. Extra muscle. That's the kids of billions. He says, well, it doesn't say kaddish after reading the Torah mincha. Because you don't say ashrei between reading the Torah and the kaddish before amida. So we put the Torah away, then we make one kaddish. We don't do two. As the Lepush explains, one kaddish is good for both things, after Torah and also before Shema Yisrael. He said the custom in Sephardic lands is to say Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, the fourth thing throw away, and there are certain Mizmor we say, although Mr. Sephard says, Ashkenaz doesn't. The Torah reading in general is a very, very high thing. I'm close to leaving Shabbos. It's going to be weekday soon, says Augustine. Therefore, we read the Torah and ask the Baruch Nevuah, Prince starts to be in a place where he's renewed. He's able to bring the light of Shabbos onto the weekdays. During the weekdays, I also need to be able to clarify my Amunah. That's what I get on the reading of the Torah during Mincha. The ability to clarify my Amunah during the days of the week. That's what best explains. The aspect of saying a Kaddish, as we'll see, or I've seen it, the aspect of saying a Kaddish, why do I say a Kaddish between after the Torah reading? Because I'm uplifted. Kaddish takes a person up level to level. That's why one Kaddish is good enough. I go from one level and then move on directly to the next level. That's why it's now, and that's why one Kaddish is good enough. Ben Ish Chai says you have to be very, very careful during Mincha of Shabbos. Very careful. Because it's very, very holy. You're going to the highest possible place. You're going to a place. You're just about before Adam and Eve sin, a certain part of us gets to that place. Very, very hard. The third meal. And we're just about there. Very, very sublime place that we're going. We're taking a rocket ship trip. So we need to be careful and pay attention to these two dominants. There are different schools. It says Ubi Ta'am Chisrael. Say is just say Kamcha Yisrael, maybe without the Umi. Oh no, Kamcha Ki Yisrael. They say Kamcha Ki Yisrael, we say Kamcha Yisrael, that's the simpleness of either way. So Shach says it that way, Kamcha Ki Yisrael. No proof from Shach. Kavanah Shach says Kamcha Yisrael, fine. Either way. The main point is to focus on this fact. Who is like your nation Israel Hashem? Who is like us? Who is like us? The one nation Hashem? Who is like us? This is part of what's revealed in Mincha. Mincha has revealed the greatness of being a Jew. You are one, your name is one, and who is like your nation? We're all one. Oneness, the Maharal explains it, the truth from Zer Chodesh, Echod is Gematria Ahava. After Echod, you're one of you. You're with a single mind, you just focus fully on love for Hashem. Echod, Mika Amchi Yisrael. The main thing to remember, Mika Amchi Yisrael, being a Jew is so important. So, so important. Feel it, know it. What does it mean? I'm a Jewish, love for Hashem. To feel the greatness. There's a story with the, with the Chosen Lublin. The Chosen Lublin, he one time came to Shul and he said the bracha Shalei Yosemi Goy. Every day he'd say it with a lot of feeling. That day he skipped it. Right? Every other bracha he said, no Shalei Yosemi Goy. Weird? What's the deal? So they asked him, what happened? Today you skipped it. So I didn't skip it. I woke up in the morning. And I felt so thankful. Shalei Yosemi Goy. It just burst out of me. So now let's say it again. So I skipped it. That's how we have to feel. We have to feel a lot of appreciation. Thank you, Hashem. Shalei Yosemi Goy. Thank you, Jew. Amish connected me. There's a famous Tzadik HaKod Mublin. The Ishbetzer asked for Tzadik HaKod Mublin. He said, why don't you make a bracha? Why don't you make a bracha shaloi a sunny shasani kohen? You're a kohen. Why did the kohen say? Thank you, Hashem, for making me a kohen. So he said, I can't. He said, I can't make that bracha. He said, because what do you mean shasani kohen? You know what a kohen is? You have to be on a very high level to really, really connect to being a kohen. When you're a kohen, you have potential, but what about actualizing it? He said, that's not why we don't say a bracha, she'asani Yisrael. You can't say, made me a Jew. You have to say, did make you a goy. You're not a goy. So potentially, you don't have to do gerus in order to be a Jew. You're a Jew. But, you can say shalei yosemi goy. I have a spark. I have something, but I make myself a Jew by acting like a Jew. He says, well, what will you say? You can't say Shalei Yosemi Yisrael, Hashem did make you a Jew. You can't say Shalei Yosemi Kohen, you're a Kohen. So you can't say anything. That's how he explains. It's the same Bechina, this idea also of knowing that, like, Mamash, Hashem picked this Nikam for Yisrael, I'm part of the Jewish nation, but I really have to, I gotta work hard to act as a Sfirik for a Jew. He said, we say in the Amida, your children will recognize. And know that their menucha is from you, Me'itcha. So the reason it says Me'itcha is Me'itcha. Their menucha is from Cha, from Keser. It's a very, very place now. We're giving Hashem a crown. We're making Hashem a crown. And from this place of crown, there is their rest. So we get a light of Keser now. Your children should know, Yisrael, the eighth chop is Keser. As that re-explains. That's why the They bring this fun, Mishnah Tzidim and others explain that this time, since all of the different times parallel different levels, this time parallels the level of the Yichud Chosn Kala, where we are like totally one with Hashem. So we need to be in a place where we are willing to sacrifice ourselves for Hashem, like we see before. We'll see in a minute. Another minute, we'll see. See in another minute. This very powerful, powerful, beautiful idea that we have to be willing to sacrifice, to have self-sacrifice for Hashem. We need to learn how to be willing to self-sacrifice for Hashem. Willing to sacrifice, take on the Jewish nefesh. When I realize that everything is Hashem, I'm going to live with self-sacrifice. I'm going to live with self-sacrifice. Yeah, I have to be willing to give over my life to Hashem. Have self-sacrifice for Hashem and how I act. There's a story. Somebody who was taken by the Russians to be a cantonist. Was taken, that meant 30 years later he was returned or something like that. He was taken at 8 or 9. 30 years later he was freed from the army. You know what they called these kids? Their last name? It was Rus. Because when they were taken, the non-Jewish authorities, the Tsarist government, didn't care what their last name was. They just, your name is, this is your number, don't ever forget it or you get shot. And that's it. So by the time they get out of the army, they didn't know their number, their name. And so what's your name? It was Rus. His name was Russian, Ruski. Mr. Russian from Russian soldier. So there were Jews who actually went through this 30 years or whatever it was and stayed strong. One guy's name was Rus, and he didn't remember his family name, but he remembered that he was a Jew, he married Jewish right away, and he had children. And when it came time for his non-goal ritual son was ready in the parsha, as it were, they were going to like try to snatch him next. He said, you're not going through what I went through. I'm going to send you over the border, and you are going to grow up in Poland, not in Russia. And he smuggled him over the border, and he never saw him again. That's called self-sacrifice. That's called serious nefesh. Listen, he knows that in Chosn Kala, we're here for Hashem. We're here for Hashem. That's what we're here for. We reveal Hashem in the world. We have a deep oneness with Hashem. So, there's a faithfulness in fighting that. That's the first thing. Person willing to do anything. Willing to do anything. That's number one. So the Bereshit continues and he says, okay. Now Reese says, Amaruch Hassan, this statement is that for the Amaruch Yakdush Shemecha that will sanctify your name, that means they're willing to die al Kiddush Hashem. Willing to die for Hashem's name. So The Rav Nassim is the powerful thing. He says, this willing to die, this willing, I think it's Rav Nassim, it's the rest of his farm for sure. I think it's Rav Nassim, might be Nachta Shulchan, Rikut Shabbat, the Tuner, I'm not 100% sure. But one of the rest of his farm, he says, this willingness, I'm willing to die. What does that mean? That means a person, I think it's Rikut Shabbat, I'm not 100% sure. It's one of the Trinity Love. It's the breast of his farm. A little later than nothing. He says that means that a person sits and thinks, when he's hit with the test, do I keep Shabbos or not? He's getting a test now. He's being pushed out of Shabbos. Some way, another way, someone turned on the light, someone, I don't know what happened. Somehow he's being, and the same thing in terms of the Ruach of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, he's being pushed out of it. So he had a test now. And he has to start to think. He says, why am I being pushed out of the Ruach of Shabbos? Because I mistreated Shabbos. I didn't treat Shabbos properly. It means it's not pekuach nefesh. It's not a dangerous situation. There's no danger here. No one's going to die. So he has to be very, he has to do tshuva for the times that he cheapened Shabbos, that he disgraced Shabbos. I have to do tshuva for that. And when I did tshuva for that, I said, I'm willing to die for Shabbos. I'm willing to do anything. I'm not going to break Shabbos, but I'm not going to break Shabbos. There's a story with the Chabad Chaim. Someone once came to the Chabad Chaim and he said, Rebbe, I want to go to America. I want your blessing. He said, I can't give you my blessing because most people go to America. They go off the dead. They stop keeping Shabbos. He said, what do you mean? Of course I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'll keep Shabbos. He said, okay, if you'll keep Shabbos, give your hand on it, I'll give you a bracha. Gave his hand, went to America, found an employer. He told him, listen, I'm the student of the time. There's no way I'm breaking Shabbos. Finish. Don't, you know, you don't want, I'll leave. He got very impressed with him. Wow, he's so sincere. He's so real. So refreshing. You can work cleaning windows in my factory. You'll leave on Friday, no problem. And he's working there for 6 months. Everything's good. 6 months later, his boss comes into his house, Motzi Shabbos. He says, yes, what can I do for you? He said, listen, I'm really sorry. We're getting complaints and having problems, whatever. I cannot allow you to be the exception anymore. We'd love to have you continue on cleaning the windows. You do a great job. You're wonderful. You're great. But I can't have you not working on Shabbos anymore. So I told you already, there's no way I'm making a job like that. I'll have to find another. So I wish you every love, every atzlacha, every success. But I can't have you here. Okay, fine. So he went looking for a job, and it's like he felt like every door was closed. Looking, months, nothing. Anything open, said, I'll come in the day for free. Just let me work. No. What's going on? Okay, his savings are gone. He's somehow borrowing. Look what he's doing, getting this together. They're letting him stay in his house with difficulty. He's in big trouble. Finally, it's been many, many months. He doesn't know what to do. He's beside himself. And he's down in shul in the morning, and he starts to walk back to from shul. He realizes there's really, literally not one crumb of food in my house. He says, that's it, I have to go to work. I'll go to the window set. Say it's not. I have no choice. I have no food. But, so he sort of turned around, started walking to the factory, and he goes, no, wait a minute. And then the Chofetz Chaim told him, he gave his hand. Gave the word. He said, wait, let's be honest here. Is anyone going to starve? Yes, there's not a crumb of food in my house. But there's water. And third meal, you know, it's winter. During the third meal in the shul, they give out free bread and free food. I mean, the kids can come eat. My wife can come eat. I mean, no one's going to starve. It's just going to be very unpleasant. I told the Chofetz Chaim, it's not called pekuach nefesh. No one's dying. Next week, I don't know what will happen. This week, no one's going to die because they didn't have food. I have to wait. He came home to his wonderful meal. Zero meal. And they managed somehow. But at night, he gets a knock on the door. It's an old employer. What are you doing? He's smiling. He comes in. He says, I want to tell you what happened. Because 6 months ago, my partner, he's speaking about you. I said, this guy is such a sincere man. I'm telling you, he will not break Shabbos for anything in the world. Now, pekuach nefesh, not pekuach nefesh, won't be Shabbos. And his employer, his partner was like, get out of here. Everyone's the same. You gave him a break, so he's taking advantage. He wants to keep Shabbos, but if he didn't have a break, he'd break Shabbos. No way, just like anybody else. He has to. He said, no, I'm telling you, this guy's a real deal. He said, I'm willing to make you a bet, any money. This guy's going to give him 6 months. I'll make sure he won't get a job in the city. He's going to for sure fall. So for sure, so they made a very large bet. And this guy, anywhere he went to try to work for any reason, this guy already took care of it, that he won't get any jobs. He said, in 6 months is over today. I came to you after Shabbos. 6 months is up. He says, here are all your back wages. Come to work tomorrow. So he says, what would have happened to me if I hadn't listened to the time? That one day I could have lost everything. So I thought, this is what we're talking about over there in the safety. You have to have your nefesh or Shabbos. It's not pekuach nefesh. You don't break Shabbos. End. There's no such thing. No such thing.
When my wife's father came here in the 20s, he came here in 24, his brothers came here earlier. Uh-huh. It was so bad because they were bakers in Poland or Russia or wherever.
They came to America?
They came to America.
Uh-huh.
It was so bad that his uncles had to return to Poland.
Okay.
Or wow. Poland, Russia, same area. And they were killed in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Only their nephews survived in, I think, his uncle or his my wife's uncle founded in Paris right after the war.
Very hard. Can't imagine what it's like to go back to Pogrom because you can't make it in America. I mean, that was what it meant. Moving back to, it's like no words. I mean, I spoke to my grandmother and she's like, if you're afraid to go down the street, anybody could beat you up and nothing would happen to them. Nothing. You don't care. Beat them up, no problem. You're Jewish, we can beat you up. We beat you up, nothing happens. Everything's good. Unbelievable. I couldn't make it. It's like, very, very hard test. America was a hard test.
You had no Shabbos, no kashrus.
Yep. That's true. Very, very rare. You had to be really rare. You had to be a rare person. Very, very. You had to be willing. Until you found a way of working, you don't know the language, you don't know the language, you don't know anything. And here you are. You go into... you take a job, you know it's going to last 6 days. Because Shabbos, you're fired. You show up, say, okay, I'll take it to the other problem. And Friday, you say, I have to go for Shabbos. We work on Saturday. No, I can't. So you're fired. Fine, give me my wages and out. And you find another job. Until you get a push card or something. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The prayer, the Shemot Esrei for the Shabbos, is different from the weekday. And we were talking about that. We're praying for, during the weekday, like some individual needs, as well as for all of Israel, obviously. And then on Shabbos, we're praying mostly for the community, right?
In a certain way. It's very interesting on Shabbos. What are we asking for? We talk about the greatness of Shabbos more or less during the prayers. We ask the man, yeah, give me life, give me Torah, give me purity. But we're talking about the greatness of Shabbos. We're accessing very high levels with each prayer. Each prayer on Shabbos, we access extremely high levels. Every prayer is something else. As we said before, the first night prayer is Atik Hidashit Lechinis Kedushin. There's a wedding, as it were, between the Jewish people and Hashem. That's Kedushin Atik Hidashit. The second prayer, Yismach Moshe, Matnas Chalko, Moshe will be happy with the giving of his portion. That's an aspect of gifts. You send gifts for a wedding. And then, Tikkat Shabbos Musav is the wedding feast. And then, Ata Echad, we're talking about now, that's the Chasen Kala Golda in the room to consecrate the wedding. They stay alone, that's where it's just completely alone with Hashem, the highest wedding. That's what it says. So we're asking something different. The Gemara actually says that all the requests are relevant to the Shemesh Shabbos too, except Musaf. But we don't say them, so we shouldn't have too much of it shouldn't be too much of a burden. Oh, 18 blessings plus. Our sages knew the nature, human nature, like, oh, so much to say. He said, don't bother, just say the Shabbos stuff, it's good. That's the. So we're just connecting to the essence of Shabbos, each thing. Each time a particular level. He starts with Mincha, really. Mincha is the highest level. We don't really speak about it. I don't know if he's going to speak about my prayer too much. He speaks a lot about Shachos. A lot. All the different minutiae of Shachos and when and how. But every prayer is a different prayer. We do different things in different prayers. So this is Mincha Shabbos is the prayer of Mesiras Nefesh, the prayer of self-sacrifice to Hashem, the connecting to Hashem on the highest level. Kedusha of the review of Shabbos, we say after Kedusha is a very, very high, it's a deep, deep secret, it's a very high time. You bring it from a very high place. As Ari says, therefore, be very careful to say Kedusha properly. Kedusha is an aspect of Kadosh means separate. So you have Kadosh is Maisa, an action. Kadosh is speech. Right? And Kadosh and Machshava. All of these three I access during Mincha on the highest possible level. Very, very high place. Maybe certainly the highest of the week. Maybe the highest, in a certain way, at least because Kess is also a big competitor, it's just a different aspect happening. Maybe the highest, even in a year, in a certain way. It's very, very, very high, close, a very big, Mitzvah Shabbos. So to be very careful to have it in mind, to focus. The aspect of Mincha and Shabbos, we're saying Ata Echad, we're about to say Ata Echad. The aspect of Ata Echad, what is this Ata Echad? Ata Echad of nothing says a person has tremendous actus. You have to act to a very high place, get to this very high place. You have to get this supernal oneness. So the more we have love for each other, the more we have actus, the more we're able to access that level. That's how Nassim explains it. So therefore, the Kedusha, the Kadosh Kadosh, on the one hand, we're separating ourselves from this world in action, speech, and thought. And on the other hand, we're becoming one with our fellowship. That's the aspect of a little bit of this, of about this Kedusha. So now up to Tzidkas Tov. Oh, we might end up finishing. Let's see. So all the way to be brought to show. What is Tzidkas Tov? We say three times Tzidkas Tov. So on a simple level, there were three tzaddikim that died on Shabbos: Yosef, Moshe, and David. And we say this prayer for them. To access their level. On a deeper level, we wake up the souls of these great tzaddikim. We do a very big rectification that we need for Mincha. Because we need to pick up, we need to be uplifted and act as a highlight. The only way to do that is by yearning until we create vessels to get there. And the souls of the tzaddikim assist us to do that. We use these three neshamas, they create this feminine water, this yearning to bring down this light. Now, before we continue about the Lachas, right, it says, if it's on Rosh Chodesh, the Beis Chagidish, you don't need the Malchus. But this Tzadikim, it happens on its own. It's the greatness of Rosh Chodesh, like the Rebbe says. Tzidkas Chatzedek, after Shemoneh Esrei, after repetition, we immediately say three verses. You should look at it, because we're about to see from Rav Nosson, Likutei Lachos, it is an incredibly essential prayer. We're about to see in another minute, I can't believe, like, when I first read this, I just almost, like, I said, wow, is he for real? Like, you read these three verses, and you're just like, it's, you know, we're talking about these high levels, you know, you get there, what more can you say? There's nothing found more you can say. It's pretty amazing, I must say. So, another minute, we'll get there. I just want to finish the technical I left us. First of all, he says, even when it's Hanukkah, or other days, one should say it. No. He says, when it's Hanukkah or other Yom Tzitachim, you don't say it. He says, how do you make this tikkun when you don't say Tachim? He says, the Rebbe Almighty says that the Yori explains that Beit El, they would have it in mind. Between Chazon and Kaddish, except for Rosh Chodesh, when you don't need it. That's how you should put it. But otherwise, you should have in mind these tikkunim. And what tikkunim are we supposed to have in mind? So, Rav Nosson really sheds a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous light on what this means. He says, okay, who are these three tzaddikim? First, you have Yosef at tzaddik. Then you have Moshe. And then you have David. So, Yosef. What was Yosef's aspect? Rav Nosson says Yosef's aspect was that he didn't fall. He was tested and he did not fall. That's the aspect of every Jew where he hasn't yet fallen. He hasn't yet tempted. We're good with it anymore. To his strong point, don't fall there. Hold on. Stay pure. Stay good. If you're a tempted person, you've never lied. Don't start lying. You know, if you ever say, okay, I'm tempted here. If you've been strong until now, keep this up. Don't fall. Stay Yosef and Tzadik in your aspect. That's number one. Then he says, that's the first verse. He says, then you have a verse. The other verse is Moshe. Moshe Rabbi Nachman explains, so beautiful. So Moshe, Mem Shin He, it's 345. 344 Ishmad, that means desolation, it means someone going away from Jewish practice and as it were, trying to convert to a different religion. That's what Shmad means, obliteration. That's 346 is Ratzon, which is desire, the level we want to access. Moshe takes us in places where we've been weak, in places where we've fallen, but then we strengthened ourselves. Moshe holds us from falling from Shema to Ratzon. He doesn't let us go back down. He says, now, even when you're weak, and you came back, hold on. Be strong even when things that are weak and hard for you. So then there's a third level, which is David. David teaches tshuva. So what, you haven't repented yet, repent now. That's what those are three verses. The re explains, I don't know if we need to go into it, he explains in the Nusach, what is in the text. How are these tzaddikim? What are these tzaddikim? What does this mean? It's good. I think it's good this way. Enough.
We say those lines after the private meter, or we wait
till after repetition, before the kaddish. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Very, very, very good. He says a lot more of nothing, but I think this is good. The way it is. But there's a lot more about this prayer. Yep. Now, during Mincha, during the meal on Mincha, before you watch in from Mosi, say out loud, and with a lot of joy, Askinu Sudasa, the man Musa, we prepared the Suda, the meal of complete Emuna. Joy, the joy of the Holy King. We're preparing the meal. This is the meal of the miniature presence. Miniature presence means at least we want to be a miniature presence for Hashem. There's an aspect where a person's shining is so joyous and so complete. There's no words. He lights the whole room up. That's called Erech HaPayim. There's an aspect called Zerapin. The person's, he's okay. He's good. So we want to pick at least that up. At least we want to reach that aspect. Like Sharkamana says now, the custom of breast is after one washes, one does this.
Why is the difference? I know it's funny they do it.
The Mishnah Chassidim says to do it afterwards. There are different ways. The question is, when are we accessing this? When am I most likely to access it? Like we saw yesterday, every time a person has one of the three meals, it's a time of tremendous love for Hashem is revealed within a person's heart. He gets the biggest connection. That's why, like Dr. McKellen says, sometimes we're just, yeah, it's spiritual, but we're still in the body of the spirituality. We're not in the soul. We're not really, our faces don't change because Shabbos very often. So we're not really, we're hoping to, we're trying to, but maybe like during the meal, we hope like there'll be a better chance of actually accessing something. So the Meir Chai says it's a curiosity. He says many people, they don't say Zer Anpin, they say Za, which is Rosh Tevis. He said also you're learning about it in Kabbalah, and also saying this. He says Ari himself says Zer Anpin. Because if you look at the rhyme, the way he says, don't tell me it should have been abbreviated, because the way the words flow in the poem and the singing it especially, but even saying it, it only works well if it's Zer Anpin. Otherwise, it doesn't work well. So obviously, it can be said out if it needs to be. Don't tell me that Rizal's the opposite. He said, what do you mean? If he's so great, he doesn't need this. If he's so great, his words are even reach even higher. So he has to be more careful, not less careful. What do you mean? The Rizal, so you don't have to worry. On the contrary, he's even stronger. If it's a problem, it's a problem for him more than anybody else. He says, the Sefer Kesher Malchus says, since at this point, we're in such a high place, the Zer Anpin reaches what's called the beard, a very, very high level, therefore, you're allowed to say it now. That's what he says.
You're allowed to say Zer Anpin?
Wait a minute.
About
No, again, he's going the other way. He says, no. He says, it's not proper to say Zeir Anpin here, it's a Zaher Anpin, like splendor, splendor of shining, because it's higher. He says, I just say, Doisha doesn't demak Kadisha. Sometimes I say, demak Zaher Anpin, also, he doesn't want to say Zeir Anpin. Again, in Brest, we're not worried about it too much. We just sing a song. We do say. And many Hasidic places are not that careful about this particular element of saying it. They'll say, our focus again is mostly more Hasidic than anything else. So from that perspective, it doesn't damage us from our, that's how we hold.
So you're saying if you hold this, I don't understand that. Hasidic versus what?
Versus just Kabbalah. But anyway, there are different ways of looking at it. In any of it, there's a different way to look at it. The Hasidic world, generally speaking, is not careful. Mostly, we're not careful about this. Some are.
Why?
Because we're
not worried
about it. It's about time. What we're trying to do when we say these places, we're not trying to
really
be a mukubal. We're trying to, as it were, get a little drop of light. It's a different. It's like you're, you know, like the bumpkin coming to look at the crown jewels. If you're in the treasury, you have to be careful. Don't handle this, be careful how you handle that. But if you're not in the treasury, you're outside looking in, it's okay. So we're outside looking in, so it's okay. That's probably the baltan. So we're outside looking in. So it's not such a problem. You know, that's
so it's a problem if you're inside.
If you're inside and you're on the level, then be careful. But if you're outside,
let someone know the difference.
Oh, that's easy. That's not a problem. If you ever have a lucid thought, if you ever get upset, you're not on the level yet.
No,
so it's pretty easy. That's not a problem. At least for me, I don't know. For you, maybe it's a whoa. When did I? Last week, did I have one of those? I don't know. You know, but for me, no problem. I know for sure you didn't get angry. You want to have a day with that. So would be happy.
Oh, don't worry. Your wife will tell you when you're.
You can still access that, even if you're not.
But it's a free gift.
It's a free gift.
So if it's a free gift, it's not that you're. It's not the same. You didn't draw down something. I lowered something. I did lower something by saying this or not that. I'm not there at all. Please give me a gift.
How did you even lower it anyways? Like,
that's a different question. But it's not so relevant to me because I'm just standing there with my hand out. So if the way I did the hand out is I say these words, I hope I'm sort of getting something. So that's okay. That's all. Very simple. Well, if you're...
Even that, the access that's a high level. Just to be able to...
It just depends on you. Every Jew, we all have a high level. We all have a Hashem with some fire for Hashem. We all have a spark that wants Hashem. So, everyone. So we're hoping Hashem will give me a free. It's not my... I don't deserve it. I'm
actually,
hoping.
Yeah, not at all. Like, that is higher level than deserving it.
sort of. Really? It's different. It's a different thing.
Like today, I read the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai and Rabbi Chanan ben Yosef.
Uh-huh.
Is this what you're talking about?
You're talking about. But I'm not talking about Rabbi Chanan ben Yosef. Rabbi Chanan ben Yosef gets to come in and he's serving. There's another guy who's like a beggar. So sometimes he gets things and he doesn't get to go in. You don't get to go in. What do you mean? You get to go in? Who are you? You have two great people. One's close to it. One takes care of the king's needs, as it were. One is an officer. You don't get to go in. Just waiting and hoping. King loves me too, so I hope I'll have a little mercy. Maybe get a little light. We're just as it were, we're a kilu. We're only trying as it were. It's a different level totally. Totally different level. It's not the same level at all. It doesn't work. We're somewhere else where we're trying. Yeah. So that's the Mnig HaPashut. He says you don't do Kiddush on this time. No Kiddush.
Bilam and also the Pharaoh had access and they both rush in.
Whoa, one second. So Nassim says this is an excellent question. So we have like this. So Nassim explains
it's weird.
Nothing explains Okay. He says any person who wants can access high things.
Even for Russia?
Yeah. That's what he says. He says, don't be like Bill. Don't be like Bill. Don't go accessing. That's why, you know, we spoke about this before. And one of the people also, it's always, usually better just to leave alone higher things. Don't worry about it now. Just focus to feeling grounded. Do my best. It's usually the safest way. Sometimes there's no choice, but usually that's the safest, best way.
You say close your eyes.
That's the
don't go after.
Absolutely. Because why? Because we have to be very careful not to be this Bechina Bilim. He says, yes, Bechina Bilim, you can access, you can get levels, you can see things, and it's all about you.
Bechina Bilim, but Prophets of all, they all had that.
They all had something, yes. So you have to work for it, but it's false, it's fake. That's the problem. So we have two different Bechinas, two different aspects. To be careful not to take it and make it part of like you, it's mine. It's not mine. It's just a free gift from Hashem, and I keep that in mind. I'm just trying to get a little bit of aura. I'm trying to somehow act as something higher. So I'm gonna try my best, but not to be in a place where I am this. I will this. So no, it's not me, Bichlal. I'm just trying. That's why a lot of people they fight with big tzaddikim. Someone fights with big tzaddikim. No, he's this and he's that. And he's the other thing. Try to explain it. I was speaking with someone on Shabbos. It's like a long conversation. It's drawn out. It's like impossible to stop. I was like, listen, you're working on Muna. I feel like there's no Muna. I feel like the Muna is, I'm working hard on Muna. Where's my life, my activated, alive Muna? If you don't have that, that's what you need to focus on. Not so much this way, that way.
The same person who said you shouldn't have a job to spread Muna, I think it's not a job to spread.
This is the same guy, different conversation. Same guy. And I'm trying to explain to him, it's not because this way, you're on the level, and you can't be building. He was giving a long discussion. I was like, yeah, I know the Pitala, but I'm telling you, my friend, you need to work on having an activated life of Muna. And if we don't have it, it doesn't matter how well you know. What does it really take to Tzadi? You can take somebody, and he's not connected to anyone in other issues, only to three, not as it were. And he's like, his emunah is kind of drab and dead. And he's got a problem. And it doesn't help to say, well, I know the exact, like the Maggid says about the math. I'm an expert in the math. You never went anywhere. I know what emunah is, but I don't really have it. So it's a problem. You know, theoretically. What do you mean?
It seems like this is a generation who's accessing a lot of things, and they're definitely not on the level to be able to hold it. But they're accessing things that 100 or 200 years ago would have never been accessed by.
We're special souls.
This generation is like accessing.
We're very special souls. But we have to be very careful not to.
So how do you not get damaged or damage others by accidentally walking into things? Because there's a lot of people that are. They're accessing things.
Are you talking about the dark sites, such as in India?
No, not even that. Just regular Jews trying to do the Kedusha. Like they're accessing things that's like way beyond their.
Everyone
goes in. It's like, how does someone warn people to, or be careful, or just go with faith in the moment and say, okay, I'll come up with it.
Everyone is different. And you have to do my very best. And I have to be thankful. I have to appreciate very much Hashem, any gifts I have. Thank you so much, what I have, what I get. But I have to be very, very careful not to become that Bill. Not to think, I understand, I know this, I know that. I don't know anything. I don't know. I'm trying. I saw the lesson again. The lesson is very, very careful. He said, yes, Hashem is always sending you hints. But you might not be reading them right. You might be partially right, partially wrong. You don't know anything. You have to believe Hashem sent me in. And I'm going to go with my understanding now because I'm trying to serve Hashem this way. But not because I get it.
Right.
I didn't get it. I try. So be careful, but they're different bechinas. But
you have friends that are accessing things. And you obviously know they're not on the base field. Obviously. But they're accessing. Mamash accessing.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, they're accessing things, like we're talking about, and all of a sudden they're like getting things, and you're like talking about it, and like you have to realize that you're saying you don't know if you're accurate.
Yeah,
you're most exactly. Not.
You might be, and you might not be. And there are a lot of people they don't like this. So what do you mean? I'm an oracle. Hi, Bilam. Oh, hello, Bilam. Nice to meet you. Maybe you send them away. That's what I mean. I don't suggest you hold on to. Send them away. It's not the right.
Wow.
And that's really what it comes down to. So Nathan said, he says, I'm really sorry. Until you like the hide that has been completely, utterly expunged of any kind of impurity, so you are not the tzaddik, and you're just not it. So maybe you and I can't tell about somebody else, but we certainly can tell about ourselves. And then the person's like, yeah, it should be easy. It should be. And the minute that's the case, so it's always a question. So sometimes, again, some of the person gets close, there's a lot of humility.
Even they say, I know they have their flaws, but they're saying things that are like, whoa.
You get it or. We're high neshamas. It's not like we're not high neshamas. We are high neshamas. But we're also the worst neshamas. It's both.
Right.
So you have to be able to fix the hardest for the hardest in yonah.
Should be master the warning label.
Yeah.
On her back.
Absolutely. It's not simple. It's not simple. But yeah, there is high neshamas. It's not like it's not high. It is high. But there's also all sorts of things which are, you know, they are what they are.
I heard from Yaakov. He was saying that this generation is a generation that will be separating people that are coming close to Kedusha and Hashem, and those that are going the exact opposite way.
Some say, yeah. The Gemara says that Tam Hashem is going to be either completely meritorious, completely zakai, or completely unmeritorious, not like the opposite of meritorious. And there are those who explain it means you'll have a polarization of some people one way and some people the other way. I forgot who it was.
That's what he said.
That's like, again, at least a century ago it was brought down. I don't remember who it was, but there is something in that for sure, but we have to realize that it could be the whole time. It might have been others earlier, I'm not sure.
He said it's going to come back together.
Yeah.
I can find out. So far this way, and then they're going to have to beat up.
I mean, the Rebbe said it'll be a chiddush. It'll be a novel person will wash his hands with full bread. It'll be a very big, special, unusual Jew. Wow, you wash your hands with bread. Maybe not. Like they've all sent it. It's very rare. It'll be a rarity. You actually do that? It's like unbelievable. What kind of test we're dealing with? Not simple. So again, the first rule is again, I don't want to be Bilam. I have to know where I am, and that's the safest way. By the way, the safest way is just to do my best, but not to be in the place where I'm high with my 2 feet on the ground. We can keep 2 feet on the ground. Then we can move forward. We can go.
Go away from that?
You don't have to.
Get away from it.
You don't have to. You can. Sometimes it's better. Yes, if it's making you crazy. But sometimes it's the opposite. Person, he's working on having a living in a mood. He has up. He has down. He has whatever he has, and he's like, doesn't move me. I don't really care. I am who I am. I do my best. I have to continue doing my best, and I'm not going to be moved. I'm not becoming Bill. I'm not going to become a friend. You need to do this. This is your. If he asks me, I'll suggest with humility and try to explain. I'm not taking the crown. The crown is on the lucky key. Maybe I see the beauty of the jewels. Wow, that's just a free gift. I don't pay it for you. Maybe, but not I am. That's even great rebbes. That was how they looked at it. Certainly for us. I mean, there's a mice of the Kapishtzer Rebbe. The Kapishtzer, whatever the Kapishtzer, the Kapishtzer. Oh, he was saying. They thought they weren't sure for a while in Europe, in America, how bad it was, how good it was. There was a couple in Vienna that was looking not so good. They got married, and the husband got a visa to America, and he came to America, and he's hearing all sorts of things. And he's doing business, he's being okay, things are working, but he can't seem to get a visa for his wife. He, with difficulty, can stay. He's hearing things are getting worse and worse and worse. There's no one to do. He's beside himself. He's just married, and his new bride is stuck in Vienna, who knows what's going to happen next. He's like Kristallnacht. He's really, he doesn't know what to do. So he's on the verge of having a breakdown. He tells his partner, I really, literally feel like I'm just going to, one day I'm just going to jump. You know, I live a few floors up. I'm just going to step out the window. I can't stand this anymore. I don't mean it. I don't know if I mean it, but I just lose my mind. I feel like I'm on the verge of losing my mind. You lose your mind, you can do anything. So for me, that means I'm just going to step out the window and end it all. I can't do it anymore. Okay, so he said, listen, you know, I think it's a little drastic. If you're feeling so pressured, maybe call me. There's a Rebbe. The Kapishtzer Rebbe. Let's see what he has to say. He's a great man. Very real person. Maybe he'll help you. You can always jump off the roof later. I mean, like, you don't have to make a drastic choice. Like, you know, if you see you're in such serious dire straits, come talk to someone. Okay, so he comes to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says, he hears the whole thing, and he tells him, if she can't come, I don't know if I'm going to make it much longer. I just can't do this. One of these days, I'm just going to finish. So the Rebbe said, you don't have to wait that long. I guarantee you, 1 month she'll be in America. Can you wait 1 month? So, but that's like possible. This is not working. So don't worry about that. It's only 1 month she's here. Or she's on the boat. I don't know. One or the other. I felt so relieved. Rebbe, listen. And I told him he's responsible. He doesn't just shoot off his mouth. He's very responsible. He looks very, very serious, earnest person. They say something like that, it doesn't really mean it. And he says a month, he feels, okay, it's going to be all right. And that's, I feel so much better. And this other friend of his was a Gera Chassid. He can't believe it. This Rebbe's never told anyone of Yeshua. Never says anything. He said, I'll tell you, he never said anything to anyone. Never. I know people go, he gives them bracha, he's a machazik them. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say, this will happen. It's not his style. I'm really surprised. It's amazing. And a month later, wherever it was, a month on the boat, I don't remember exactly. She's on the boat or she's there. Exactly. Everything started opening up. It all came together. And the Gera Chassid is even more amazed. He said, she actually made it? And he told her, that's prophecy. That's amazing. That's incredible. So he went to the Rebbe. He said, how'd you do that? How do you tell him that? The guy's gonna jump off the roof. I mean, you say that and you're wrong. You're in big trouble. How do you with such confidence? He says, you have it the wrong way around. I see a man standing in front of me who within the next day, hours could jump off the roof. I have a halakhic obligation to prolong his life any way possible. I have to lie to him with incredible confidence and say, no problem. So I worked out how long is the maximum I can tell him that he'll hold on and he'll feel relieved and he won't kill himself. It's about a month or whatever it was exactly told him. So I told him with tremendous confidence, don't worry, it's on me, she will come 100%. He relaxed. So then you left. I turned to Shem and said, listen, I had an obligation. I had no choice. The guy came to me. I have to prolong his life. I have to. Sorry. I have to prolong his life. So I prolonged his life. Now, please, don't make a liar out of me. I haven't got the power to do anything. I'm going to say, tell him, you're going to help his wife's music, because I can't do it. So then, it all worked out. He said, you have the opposite way. I came, my prophecy, I saw something, I had no choice, it didn't matter to me. I said, took care of it. So when he told this story over to the Beis Yisrael of Gur, in Antwerp, I think they were, the Beis Yisrael was so impressive. That's a real Rebbe Shemofus. That's a real Rebbe who does a miracle. That's how you really supposed to feel. Tell it again. He told it again. The story of this thing. So you see, that's the real deal. You know, you're not coming with the power. You're the king, Bilam. You're not Bilam. He's not nothing. He's just trying to serve Hashem. Some do this way. Some do that way. You try to promise someone. You try to access a certain particular Indian and bring them help. Well, Yeshua delivered. You try this way. You try that way. There are different pathways, but it's not. It's never. You see, I mean, this Rebbe. And these friends are talking about, they're very different. There's something very different about them. The hubris just doesn't exist by these rabbis. There's no hubris there. It's just somebody trying to, like everybody else. And if you know someone who's on such a level, also he's just a regular person, he speaks to anyone he needs to speak to. As good as he possibly can be, he tries to help people. That's who he is. That's his life. Regular guy. He doesn't feel, the Rebbe, I'm the Rebbe. That's how he feels. Okay, it's not the way of Breslau. That's right. I don't know if it's the way of Poland is. I have no idea, but definitely not the way of Breslau, and not the way of the Talmidim of Hashem in general. That's how they felt. They felt inside very, very, very much. Hashem's doing it all. I'm not doing anything. The Talmud says Aleph Zeira Vayikra is Aleph Zeira. The Degel brings this, I think. Yeah, the Degel brings this idea that Vayikra, when Hashem, it says Hashem called Moshe, unlike Bilam, Vayikar, right? Hashem happened to work out that Bilam, one time was his donkey, one time was Bilam, whatever. Hashem was there, right? So Moshe was Vayikra, so Moshe felt embarrassed. He got permission to write a small Aleph. Aleph Ze'era, little Aleph. So the Torah is brought to Rav Shemtiv, the thing that brings this down, if I remember right, He says, Aleph in Aramaic means to learn. Ze'ira means smallness. He says, the Mishnayim say about the Chassidim, they learn in it, they don't learn. But in Yiddish it means they're learning, they learn not. He said, that's right, we learn not. Aleph Ze'ira, learn smallness. That's what it is being a chassid. You learn how to be small. You learn how to be a shemis charge. And by the way, if you think about it a little bit, you'll realize that that's specifically talking about Hashem calling you. Vayikra. Hashem is calling Moshe, right? Hashem is calling us. That's only if you're learning ability. If not, you're not. You're messing up the message. And you're, this is not the purpose. It's not the purpose for me to feel so big. The purpose is to bring Hashem into the world. And to diminish myself and to give other people. For the people, that's the purpose.
They need both.
Yes, you need both bechiras. On the other hand, you have to feel great in Hashem's eyes, like Hashem loves you, and I'm important. I'm like the Gemara says, the Rebbe says, the world was created for me. I'm great, I'm important to Hashem. But I can't make myself out to be special around anyone, especially if I see I have so far to go. If I have so far to go, so, you know, acting someone who's so far to go, don't act like someone who's, you know, at least you can have humility. You know, like the Ramak says, Rav Ovad would always bring this, he says, and Kalman would say, maybe you have your faults, but at least use that to understand another person's faults. No, I have my faults, but your faults are unacceptable. What are you talking about? They're my faults. Okay, so I can understand your faults. I can be patient with your faults. But if I can't understand your faults, I'm like, oh, you get up so late. Oh, you're so lazy. Oh, you're so angry. That's not me. I may get up late, but I don't get angry. I'm a laid-back guy. I may get angry, but I get up on time. I'm on fire. Oh, I mean, like, you gotta figure it out. What's gonna be? You'll never get anywhere. To figure it out. I have my faults. Hashem passed over my faults. I can pass over other people's faults. Like Max and Thomas Nora. I can pass over another person's faults. You know? Okay. I give him a free pass. It's okay. It's your faults. No problem. No problem, I don't hear that. I'm not fine. Oh, Hashem. Oh, see the good in every Jew. Every human being has so much good. See the good, see? Say, wow, unbelievable. He has this good, he has that good. Each person. Hashem created them for a reason. They're doing something. We have a mission. Everyone has a good mission. Fire for Hashem. Inside, we all want fire for Hashem. We mean well. We try our best. Christ, it's not always so easy. Sometimes people, we have these crazy views making us great, making us who knows what. But again, it has to be done in the right way. It could be it's real. It could be it's real. It's hard to know. It's hard to know. But the first thing is, again, just like that Rebbe, like, I'm trying just to do what you want, Hashem. I have, like, that's how you say, I don't have any ability to do anything. If you give me a gift, thank you very much. Very simple. Not, and definitely no anger. No anger. You're working very hard on anger. Anger kills that. Kills it away. No anger. Anger is not acceptable in such a place. Especially if you're getting good things.
How's it fit in? Sometimes your Gemara says you have to have confidence that Hashem is with you. You have to have people with confidence.
Yeah, confidence is one of the main things he talks about, because they named his animal that, but they used to break their confidence. That's
yep.
We shouldn't be confident to think that we're accessing because of our.
It's a confidence.
It's just Hashem's kindness.
It's
just Hashem's kindness.
It's Hashem's kindness.
That's right.
Should help. We should
have that confidence in Hashem.
Not that
He's working with us.
Not
that I can achieve something because I'm.
That's a joke.
Careful. I can't access that. Are you kidding me? Come on. Be real. We have
to
have confidence in it,
but
Hashem's helping us.
Hashem's speaking to us.
Right.
Did Bilam have to work? Hashem gave him basically a freebie, not to be like Marty. So
he had to work, for sure.
He had to work.
But not Mikdush. He worked with the donkey. Yep. It worked. It's not free. No free lunch. No free lunch.
Well, but if Hashem wanted to go to have somebody, like Moshe Rabbeinu,
why on a different side?
Right. Because the boy won't claim, well, if he gave someone like us, it was a high.
Yeah, but he still works. Zeris is, you want to hold on holiness, you got to work just
like that. How could he have done it to Kedusha? Because
he didn't. He wasn't interested in
Kedusha. He could have, because Hashem
the first sacrifice he ever gave Hashem was to try to get us to jump us up. He never gave any other sacrifice. He didn't want to give any sacrifices. He wasn't interested. Why should I just say that? He said, oh, now you're getting sacrificed.
He had no free choice in to go to access it to Kedusha.
He had a free choice. All the nations of the world came to him. Wow, Hashem's giving the Torah. We're trembling. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's just for Jews. It's nothing to do with you. Take my word for it. That's what he thought was true. Why should I go the way of Kedusha? Can't make money. It doesn't work well. The way of that means is like a panosa. It's so important. Panosa, what do you mean?
Yeah, you're in my
house. Yeah, exactly. Why should it? On the contrary, I'll use it, and that'll be my greatness. This is the craziness of these people. Oh, crazy.
Hey, it's very simple. You have to get rid of all your Lamborghinis and all your cars, and you can come face this thing. No, they're going to say, no way. Well, sure, I don't know if you remember when Sharon talked about the Arabah kingdom for Arabah, and told him exactly what they need to do with Shuvah.
He said they look Indian.
He came to him for a rocha and he told him what they needed to do in Chuba specifically. And the doctor said, no, I'd rather have my daughter die. And they walked out. Wow.
It is in a podcast I have.
Yeah. You mean the initial daughter was dying and liver failure. And he said, you have to keep Shabbos. You have to dress Shuvah. And your third is you have to wait till you marry the dude. And she said, I can dress Nuwa, I can keep Shabbos, but I'm not giving up my men. And he said, yeah, I can't.
Wow. Yep. So.
He said, that's an example of Erebroth. That's what he said. That's Erebroth.
Yeah.
If they're refusing, and they know it, and her daughter died a month later. Wow. Yeah.
No, thank you so much.
That's what he said.
Wow. Big difference. Yeah.